deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Hello listeners, good afternoon, how are you today? This is Ted Marr with the Out of This World radio program, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in the Seattle area and beyond. Today, we're fortunate to have as our guest the world's authority on Nostradamus. Nostradamus was a famous French prophet who forecasted much of the world's history up to this point into the year 3700 AD. Mr. John Hoag will be joining us from Whidbey Island here in a few minutes. He's the author of 22 different books on Nostradamus, and we're very fortunate to have him on the program today. He will be discussing his predictions for the new year and what we can expect. Please remember that the purpose of this program is to raise human consciousness, and even when bad things are predicted, they don't necessarily have to happen. In my opinion, if people learn to get along better and raise their consciousness. I have some good news. The program's been a big success, and we will be broadcasting soon on KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, beginning next week. Their website is www.kboo.fm. I've also contacted Sirius XM Radio and asked for this program to be on their national and international radio channels. We hope to be on their network soon, within the month. I also would like to request a moment of silence for Dale Ross. I spoke about him on last week's program. He's the husband of a dear friend of mine, Candia Sanders. Dale has prostate cancer, and I would appreciate it if you could please send your thoughts and prayers now to Dale for his speedy recovery from cancer. I'd like to just take a minute break. Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing moral support, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, who initially helped make this show possible, my angelic and earthly family, including my niece and nephew, Nikki and Josh, the Quest Bookstore in Seattle, the Leading Edge Bookstore in Seattle, the Viagra Crystal Book and Gem Store in Seattle, and let's take a quick commercial break now and then come back on the air with Mr. Hoag.
All right. Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr from the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to introduce our friends to Ahanu and Gail Rose. They are some of the best Akashic psychic readers in the country. Their services encompass accessing one's Akashic record. I think I'd like to just bring them on, and they can tell you a little bit about their work. Ahanu and Gail, could you tell us a little bit about the kind of work you do and the services you provide?
Yes. Well, I offer Akashic record readings, and really, the Akashic Records are the library of really the universe and creation and a person's soul journey through time. So the reading is a much deeper level. I was a tarot reader for 35 years, switched over to reading the records because of the quality of information that was coming through. But our biggest work is that we do groups every Sunday online, Akashic groups, where people bring very wide and varied spiritual questions to Source itself, about the world, about healing.
About relationships.
Relationships.
About big questions like, who are we and why are we here and what's going on the planet and where did we come from and where are we going? And it's not designed for personal questions, but for big universal questions of that nature. And it's a very, very popular group. It's more or less a very, very healing service in terms of intellectually understanding what's going on with people and their lives and their relationships. And we've helped people all over the world in this way.
And Ahanu is a wonderful spirit artist, and he paints what the spirit of love looks like inside a person. So his work is also very, very life transformative.
You both are doing such fantastic work. I've heard before that love is the most powerful force in the universe. And certainly if you're accessing that through the Akashic Records and also accessing the Supreme Being, your work is truly tremendous for people.
Yes, and we're, as you know, Ted, we're also a twin flame couple, which means that a lot of twin flames are meeting each other and coming together now on the planet, or at least having the opportunity to. And that's all designed also for this time period we're in, to bring back that divine masculine and feminine energy in perfect balance so that we can move things along on this planet and actually solidify the male and female that's within all of us.
Well, that's just so incredibly fantastic. I met my own twin flame, reconnected with her last year after a hiatus of 30 years of searching for her. So I know what you mean by twin flame. You'll be on our program on February 14th, Valentine's Day. We'll be talking about twin flames and soulmates and true loves. And I can't wait to have you both on.
Sounds great.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, listeners, their website is linked up to my website, and my website is outofthisworld1150.com. And if you go there and just go to the link for Ahanu and Engel Rose, you'll see their show scheduled for February 14th, along with the link to their website. I strongly, strongly urge you to contact them if you'd like answers to why you're here, who is my twin flame or true love. And they can answer by accessing the Akashic Records and the Supreme Being. They can answer, probably provide answers for any question you want.
1150kknw.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, listeners. We're back on the air. This is KKNW, 1150 AM, on the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr. We're very fortunate to have as our guest today, John Hoag, who's considered the world's authority on Nostradamus. And John will be giving us his predictions for the new year and discussing a little bit about the origins of Christmas and the new year as well. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Wonderful. John, I know that you do a lot of work in astrology, and you also have studied Nostradamus for many decades. What kinds of things do you see in the future for the Seattle area, for the United States and the world this year?
Well, fortunately, in the shortfall, what's good for the local area is that we will remain this year as being that kind of holding the nice side of the stick of what's going on with climate change for the coming 2014. I mean, we've had our share of weird weather last year, but it was all night. I mean, we had the weirdness of having lots of sunny days. A generally, except for that one serious cold snap in December, we're probably going to have a mild winter with just a few more snow events, but nothing going plunging to the deep temperatures, unlike what's going on the other side of the Cascades, and especially over in one-third of the United States. 100 million people are undergoing a historic Arctic blast, which reminds me of something I've been writing about for a while concerning the what I'm going to call my new book, Predictions for 2014, Gonzo Weather, basically taking Hunter S. Thompson's idea of gonzo reporting, which is another term for being extreme, weird. Mm-hmm. The weather will remain weird in a good way for us, although it'll remain quite nasty for the rest of the country. And usually what I get in at this time of the year is people saying, you know, there's a foot of snow up my doorstep, and you keep talking about global warming. How is it that the two meld together? Mm-hmm. And usually I answer, you know what temperature it is around the North Pole right now or in Barrow, Alaska? It's probably warmer than it is in Duluth and Minnesota. And that is actually a forecast that the climate scientists have been forewarning us would happen when you begin to melt the polar ice cap from a global warming climate. You flatten out the jet stream from the Arctic, flattens out, and what that means is it sends a deep trough of Arctic polar air deep into the lower 48 of the United States, and you'll see these weird storms, like one storm a week. They're getting so bad that the Weather Channel are now naming them like hurricanes. We just got through Hercules, which is just blowing its way out. And I don't know what they're calling the next one, Bambi or Thumper, I don't know. But It's basically, then it will be followed by warmth. It'll be 3 days, it's very unseasonably warm, and then it will plunge again. And that's exactly what climate scientists were saying over a decade ago would happen, that there would be areas in a, when the world's atmosphere is feverish, it will have chills. And the extremes of cold are very much possible. In fact, there are certain climate models that show that if the currents changed, if the Gulf Stream were to alter itself, and which it might do in global warming, you might see pockets of the northern hemisphere that would be under a small ice age at the same time the rest of the world is overheating.
Well, one thing I'd like to ask you, John, is what kind of effect would this have on our food supply? I mean, if, for example, if we get, I don't know how long these storms may last, but if we get snowstorms, for example, in June and July in Kansas, would that affect the wheat and corn crops? Could that conceivably happen?
What actually is happening is more the extreme shift. I've been predicting it in my almanacs for since 5 years now, that you'll have these more short and violent winters that will suddenly switch over in March and April to dramatically warm heat waves, subtropical. That's what's been happening. We've had some of the worst tornado seasons and on record in the last few years. I think 2011 was one of the worst, most deadliest. It just shifted right over. Suddenly, and there were 8 or 9 major winter storms that rolled through almost every week across the entire 2/3 of the United States. People were thinking, what is going on? And then I was writing stuff for HogueProphecy.com saying, you just wait. By the time April comes around, all that will flood out and melt. And then you'll be talking about that it's 90 degrees in March, end of March, early April, and it's 100 degrees. And suddenly you'll see all these records breaking, and that happened.
I remember, pardon me to interrupt, John, but I remember back in 2008, the weather reports from the Midwest where that's exactly what happened. They had cold weather, cool and cold weather all the way through March, April, and then suddenly the temperatures soared into 100 degrees and beyond, and they ended up with a drought, and much of the crops were hurt as a result.
So the extremes, the general trend that I forecast is that we are in another dust bowl situation for the next 10, 20 years, that is going to, so, you know, we had more water, we had more rain, fortunately in 2013, there was more water for the crops. But the aggregate measurement of rain is going to get drier and drier in the central continental regions of the United States and other continental regions, because that is a sign of climate change, that as the edges of continents get more and more wet, like Seattle, we'll get more wet. In the coming times, you see the hinterlands get drier as the climate warms up. So Seattle can imagine, you can imagine that, especially in the 2020s, people will notice it much more around here. I mean, one thing certainly that any local Northwesterner might have noticed since 1986, they were keeping daily records like I have been as one of my hobbies, you'll notice that the instances where the famous northwestern drizzly rain has been replaced by hard driving rain is clearly showing in our records now. We have a lot more hard driving rain storms, and more of them are ending with winds than back in the 80s. Used to be front would just roll through and there would be very little breeze. It was a rarity when it would happen. Now almost every front goes through with quite a blustery blast because the oceans of the world are heating up and they are obtaining most of that heat from the sun in the greenhouse effect. And because of that, they are now warmer and they are evaporating more water into the air, which works like fuel to the atmosphere, which means that all storms, something I also predicted was that all storms, with even normal ones, normal monsoon downpours, there was a monsoon downpour in Pakistan that flooded a whole area of the Sindh and sent 8 million people as refugees in 2012.
I remember that.
And it was, when you looked at the satellite picture, it didn't look any more severe than any usual thunderstorm pulse that you get during monsoons. And I lived in India, so lived through several monsoons. And so even the normal rain is raining more than it did before, let alone these storms like Haiyan, which buzzsawed through central Philippines. Unfortunately, that's following a lot of what I've been predicting about the Philippines being the first, may very well be the first nation that's knocked to its knees, not by invasion or war, mm-hmm. but by Mother Nature. Mm. And so we up here have, I would say to people in the Northwest, where we live, is that you need to lobby your elected officials to get serious about some referendums for building dams. In where I live in the Northwest, we have a great aquifer here in the islands that takes care of us. But most of the people living on the mainland rely on snow melt mm-hmm. for their water. Mm-hmm. And the snowpacks, enjoy the snow for the next 10 years, because 10 years after, in the following 10 years, there's not going to be so much snow.
Interesting.
And so the resources that and more people are going to move up here, because we being the closest window of commerce to Asia, in the general terms of things, we are going to be better off financially and economically because of that, because mm-hmm. we're the quickest route over to Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And Asia is going to continue to boom.
Mm-hmm.
So two things. We are actually the Saudi Arabia of fresh water. Mm-hmm. And when the world is in crisis where it doesn't have enough fresh water, people, innovators from the Northwest ought to seriously consider creating some kind of transport system that can transport huge amounts of fresh water across the ocean to China.
Hmm. Fascinating. Do you think someone may try to capture water out of the Columbia and sell it to the Chinese eventually?
Well, there was a man back in the 80s, 1980s, mid-80s, that tried to create large bladders that could be filled